Thanks. Thank you, guys. On either side of our scripture, we have two hymns today that we have praised to God in song. The first one was about His Majesty, and the second one on the other side, on this side of that scripture, was the humanity side. Let's look at Joan Osborne, who wrote that last song. Let's look at her questions. If God had a name, what would it be? Would you call it to His face? If God had a face, what would it look like? And would you want to see it if seeing meant that you have to believe in things like heaven and Jesus, the saints, and all the prophets? If you were faced with Him in His glory, what would you ask if you had just one question? That's Joan's question for us. What if God was one of us? What's your question to Him? I want to thank you guys so much. Come sit. Come sit. Thank you. So you've heard it done in song, and now you've heard it done with me reiterating what they just sang. I expect that for most of us, our human skepticism is going to get the better of us. And the question we might ask is it really you? Are you God? And the reason? Well, He was one of us once upon a time, and we missed it. We wouldn't want to make that mistake again, would we? I'd like to think that if I were faced with Him, and it was in all of His glory, the first words that would come out of my mouth wouldn't be a question at all. I'd like to think that the first words would be, thank you so much for your endless generosity. You know, as a rule, we aren't an ungrateful people. When we're blessed, when we're given a gift, we do respond with a glad thank you of some kind. Sometimes even a thank you note. You know, even the kids said that. That's how we thank people. But how do we respond to God's generosity? I mean, do we recognize, are we ready, willing, and present for it? And by that, I mean ready to receive, willing to believe that all good and perfect gifts come from God, and are we prepared to present the gift along to others and reflect God's generosity back into the world with a glad and generous heart? Or so maybe it's just faith. Maybe is faith all that's required? Are we just a worshiping people? You know, do we do it with prayers, song, you know, praise and words of thanks? Or are we taking the hint and learning the true generosity model, that faith without works is dead? Are we really doing something about His gifts? And are we doing our best to practice giving God's way? How do we get there? Can we even know generosity as God knows it? What would that even look like? What if God's generosity was part of us? So I have this view. It's fairly small. If your eyes are as bad as mine, you can't read it from way back there, so I'll go through it piece by piece. And we need to know what this scripture tells us, because it would appear that in the beginning of the Gospel of John, here's our model. The words "in the beginning" are kind of appropriate for today. We use the words "beginning" when we read this passage in a different translation, and when we read the book of Genesis. They start the same way with the same words. But we're actually kicking off a new sermon series today, Glad and Generous Hearts. And we're entering a season when generosity is on our mind. So today we're going to look at the generosity of God, and next week we do the generosity of God's people when William comes back. And then we tie a bow on it in the third week on generosity as life. And although our theme, admittedly, is generosity and generous hearts, let's don't forget the first word that labels this, glad. And we spoke of it in the children's message a little bit, and we're not going to leave it there. We're going to come back to it before we're done today. And I have to be really careful to stick to my side of the messages. My inclination, I met with William, and my inclination is to launch straight into How to Be Generous 101, or The Generous Way of Life 102, A Study for Christians. But William sort of said, that's my sermon. I have a hard enough time. You get your own. Not to mention the fact that here I am preaching on the Trinity. Hard enough for a pastor. What's a layperson supposed to do with this? Conley, go tell people what the Trinity is. So what is the Trinity again? Isn't that ironic? The Gospel of John is packed with enough theology just right here in these first 12 to 14 verses that we could really get lost. Oh, the irony. Oh, the irony. We could loop endlessly in paradoxes of our own questioning. What's paradoxes, you're asking? It's paradox. It's the plural. I had to learn that word for today. So I'm counting on one of Joan Osborne's questions to sort of get us started. And we're going to go back there. We're going to revisit the central theme of her song, If God Had a Face, a generous face, what would it look like? If we had the same face, what would that look like? All right, number one. You probably can't see it, but I'm going to go with present and ready to give. It's easy to jump down to the bottom of the passage where it says generous inside and out and say, well, that pretty much sums it up, right? Generous inside and out. I'm going to be generous inside out. I'm good. Let's be done. See, the problem is we humans have a tendency, children and adults alike, to focus on acts and events of generosity. And we don't seem to make the connection between a state of generosity as a state of being with no beginning and no end. It doesn't depend on events. So again, I have to be careful not to jump ahead to Sundays, because that's a message for that time. We sort of see God as like event-driven, you know, don't we? We see God as sometimes generous and sometimes not so generous. But that's not what John is saying to us. We're so limited by the rules of time, we tend to think that. We tend to spend a lot of time thinking out what we can do to sort of get God to be more generous, more often. I mean, isn't that what we do? Don't we focus on when is God going to be generous? We have a childlike view in that way. We consider our gifts and we say, God was good that day. Or we say, I hope God blesses me, meaning at some future point. We're humans. I guess that's why it's so hard for us to realize that we live under a state of constant blessing. If we will only be present and ready ourselves, present to his gifts, ready to receive. Now, I appreciate Joan Osborne's question. What if God were one of us, present and ready? But what if we were one of God's, present and ready for him, just as he is for us? So that's number one. Number two, God leaves no need untouched. If you think a need is going untouched by God, then probably God isn't thinking your way. Nothing came into being without him, not one thing. That includes any needs that you see around you, and that includes you. Perhaps you're looking at it from the wrong angle. If you see a need going untouched, chances are that God somehow got your attention and, well, he may be waiting on you to match yourself to it and be more like him. What if you noticed the stranger on the bus and you presented yourself to be one present and ready for a need, present and ready to touch a life? Spoiler alert, that was number three. Be light. Shine light. Bring people into the light, where people can be what God intended them to be. See, God's generosity isn't haphazard. It has a defined characteristic. It's self-emptying outward and completes others, all others. It is not selective. That's our number four, self-emptying. And so this is why it's hard for a layperson. This is the hard one. Self-emptying, stay with me, people, kids and adults alike. Self-emptying means God's generosity is itself a part of God that is removed from him and given away. We talked about irony a little bit. We've talked about paradox. This is the grown-up version. God pours himself out completely, gives himself away, and yet remains intact. God becomes human and stays God. God gets born, comes to us in the flesh, lives as one of us, dies as one of us, is reborn, and ascends to leave us, and yet he's always been here and he always will be. And no matter what he removes and gives away, he is forever and always whole and sufficient. Never less, never emptied. There is always more Holy Spirit. It's so hard to get our minds around this. Sometimes it's better just not to try. Here's the thing, as Carl would say. Be self-emptying even if you're not received. Even if you're not received in the way you think you should be, you will be in excellent company. Look at the passage. Jesus wasn't noticed. He wasn't received. What he did do was number five. He moved into the neighborhood. Look around. A strange neighborhood. Don't wait for a generous opportunity to come to you. Don't wait for a need to come get you. You no longer live in darkness. The light is here. You're no longer blind to grace or truth. Extend both. Which brings us almost home to number six. Be like father, like son, generous inside and out. Admittedly, this is the simple one. Show up on the outside like you believe on the inside. Here's your model. There's your model for generosity. God's generosity. 14 verses, poetry beyond belief, and John begins with that in the beginning. Number seven, I have to confess that I'm kind of setting you up with this one. I say that in the sense that I'm hoping my message today will lead gracefully and truthfully into William's message next week and beyond in this series. I kind of like to think, to bring us back to the beginning, that I'm sort of a lineman or a blocking back, just making a hole for a ball carrier, and that William will come in here and drive all of these home, scoring points for the win. And my number seven is, after looking at all of this, you have reason to have a glad heart to go with your generous heart. It's all a gift. Be grateful. And it's hard. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's hard. It's so hard when everything you're seeing, everything you're feeling leaves you with the conclusion that this is wonderful words, but you don't get the word and you feel alone. Or maybe you're feeling that you're not important enough to receive this generosity. A few years ago, I found myself in a hospital room sitting by my son's bedside. His lung had collapsed and he was scheduled for surgery, and he was so tiny. I mean, you guys all know CJ. Right, he's in high school. He's like, he's getting close to 6 feet tall. He's smart. He's pretty handsome, and he's in good health. But not then. Then it was dark. He was sleeping. I was in the hospital room alone, feeling very alone. I can still remember the sounds in that room. The hiss of the oxygen. Sound of the suction pump, sound of the Pleurovac bubbling as it kept his lung inflated and sealed. It was late. Everyone was asleep but me. on our side of the world anyway. So it fell to my friend John, and that's not irony, that's just a coincidence. My friend John, to be on the receiving end of my outpouring of feelings through an email I sent to his side of the world to catch him up on what was happening. You see, John was on the other side of the world serving in a war zone at the time. And I guess I had hoped that he could somehow help comfort me from Iraq. I thought if anyone could understand what it felt like to be under fire, surely he could. His message back to me can't be oversimplified or understated or sugarcoated. Be grateful. Stop being such a smarty, Conley, in the face of God's continuing blessings. What if CJ was worse? What if I was with John in Iraq instead of at CJ's bedside? I was pretty ashamed of myself for a second or two. I quit believing in this promise. Or at least I took my eyes off of it. And John wasn't angry with me. Oh, no, that's... hopefully you'll meet him one day. And he was just loving me the way that I needed to be loved, when I needed it. And he sent me something. He sent me a song, an MP3. And said, while you're sitting there in the dark, listen to this. And that song is Gratitude by Nicole Nordeman. You will hear it in just a few moments. And when you hear it, let it take you someplace that you've already been. And let it speak to you both then and now. So finally, here's our takeaways. Show some gratitude for God's great generosity by following his model and being generous. And let your generosity be a self-sustaining paradox. One, be present and ready. Yes, God has everything well in hand and he does not need your help. You couldn't even if you tried. But the irony is he may use your help anyway. Two, leave no need untouched, and you'll find that every one of yours is met. Three, be light, shine, bring others light, especially when you yourself are in darkness. Generously shining his light may be your only way out. Four, empty yourself to discover that you've been filled. Five, move into a strange neighborhood to discover it is your home. Six, be generous inside and out. Be the giver and the gift. And number seven, be your own thank you note. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we have really, really limited comprehension sometimes, and we forget even the things we do comprehend. This is God-sized love and God-sized generosity. Modeling it will be hard, but will you help us try? And will you help us never to forget and always remember to be grateful and to pass along our gratitude. Amen.